Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky, like sands through an hourglass, tweeted by LeBron. Is Darvin's time up? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. This one's always free and never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to check out this show and hang out with over 22,000 subscribers, all of whom are talking about hourglasses. Hourglasses, hourglasses. Andy, the hourglass hasn't gotten this much attention since the invention of the stopwatch. It is back in vogue thanks to LeBron James. We'll talk about that momentarily. There it is, the hourglass heard around the world. We'll also get into DeJounte Murray. We did not have a chance to talk about it after the loss on Tuesday night in Atlanta, the DeJounte D'Lo showdown that was decidedly one-sided. So we'll get to all that in a second. Do want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks, the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. You go to prizepicks.com/lockedonNBA and use the code all lowercase, LockedOnNBA, for a first deposit match up to $100. So, Andy, we had just finished recording and posting our stuff for the show that night for the next day and all that when LeBron...
We thought we would just be breaking down this tweet from Christian Wood, the LOL, which, as we know, that was just a quote tweet that Christian Wood screwed up. It had nothing to do 35 minutes before tip-off. Christian Wood being unhappy about not being in the starting lineup. He just doesn't know how to tweet.
No, I believe him that he was, there was a quote tweet there and he just messed it up. I just think it was a quote tweet of like Jovan tweeting out the starting lineup. I think that's where he made the mistake.
Boy. Yeah. So we thought though that that was going to be the end of it for us and Lakers social media, but LeBron took to X and expressed himself, just tweeted out an hourglass with most of the sand. I saw people breaking this down. Most of the sand is at the bottom as opposed to the top. Apparently, there are two different hourglass options available. Okay. I think even by LeBron's meticulous and never says anything not by accident, that might even be a little...
It wouldn't shock me if LeBron has his own emoji guy who designs like, no. That sand's got a little too much sand left in it. Let's adjust this slightly. This was certainly the most impactful hourglass that anybody has seen in a very, very long time.
Yeah, they've pretty much gone out of style. What's interesting about this is, you know, I always talk about LeBron's way of communicating what I often refer to as passive-aggressive. This, to me, actually felt pretty straightforward. Like, short of adding Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss in the tweet, like, along with a suggestion list or...
their little bodies inside the hourglass.
Right. You know, writing an open letter to the LA Times or just going to his own... studio, you know, uninterrupted. He's got the media resources. Like, he could just do an episode, a special episode of The Shop where he just goes ballistic.
Do you think they'd print a letter to the editor from LeBron?
Probably. Probably. The Times is cutting back a lot of resources, but I don't think they've reached that point.
I just love the signature, LeBron James, Los Angeles.
This was about as... like, this was not the old fit in, fit out of with LeBron and Kevin Love. This was do effing something, Rob. Like, the what may not be clear, but what is clear is we're out of time, folks. I'm out of time. I'm getting old. Everyone get their bleep together now.
Yeah.
Now.
I think for me, what I find sort of masterful about this, as you talk about the sort of the passive aggressive, my initial, yeah, I agree with you. It's very straightforward. Like, we're running out of time, but you mentioned it, like the what is the solution here? This is why it is GOAT level LeBron communication. because this can be filled in any way you want. Like it is brilliant in the sense of like, you know, for this can mean fire Darvin today. And there are a lot of people who would be like, I hope this means fire Darvin today. It can mean we got to make a trade. You know, DeJounte Murray, you passed the audition. We'll get to that, of course, in a second. But, you know, I'm out of time. You know, you can't be messing with my... It means all of those things. It can mean anything that you want it to be. And it is exactly what LeBron intends these things to be, which is putting everybody on high alert and freaking out and kind of wondering, like, hey, what is it that we're, you know, like you said, we got to do something, but like, let's do something here. Let's make it happen.
You know, it dawned on me today, you know, in thinking about the show and the things we're going to talk about. And obviously this was top of the list.
Oh,
this was essentially the emoji version of what LeBron was going to say after the game. And then Lakers media relations cut him off. And we're like, okay, we're done. We're done. And he's like, you know, that's probably for the best because I was starting to cook. And I don't think anyone wanted to see me cooking right now. This was basically him summarizing his entire speech into one emoji.
It's actually, it's tremendous self-editing. Like, yeah. you know, as writers, we can really appreciate the economy here to be able to take what would have been probably a 4 or 5 minute speech and distill it down to an emoji. Again, that's goat level stuff.
I mean, that's why he's a media mogul. He has a production company. He knows how to do this stuff.
So, I mean, it is clear that they quit on Darvin. They've whatever. The relationship
between, feels like quiet quitting at the very least right now.
It's something. I mean, it's not good.
I mean, they're tired. They're tired.
But Darvin doesn't look like a guy who believes the team believes in him by any stretch. He looks like somebody who's waiting for the bad thing to happen. But like, I'm not interested so much in the semantics of it. But there's clearly a gap between the players and the team in terms of everyone being on the same page and everyone like pulling in the same direction, everyone believing in what it is that the team is trying to accomplish and how.
Understanding what the team is trying to accomplish.
And how. Really, really how. Do you think this, if you had to pick one side or the other, is this more make a move to improve this roster? Or weigh it in percentages, however you want to answer the question. Or we need a different coach. What percentage on that scale would you give that? Because I think there's a little bit of both in there.
Well, there's definitely a little bit of both. I mean, the easiest thing to do, and I want to make it clear, this may not be the most effective. I'm just saying it's the easiest in terms of just simplicity. It doesn't require two or three other teams to tango. You just fire Darvin. Like, that is the easiest thing you can do. Other than the money, it's the easiest, most controllable thing you can do. Now, you know, even putting it, whenever this type of question gets raised, the obvious follow-up is for who? And I'll be honest, my answer is, I don't know. You know, once Doc Rivers got taken off the market by Milwaukee, because whether you like that approach or not, I guarantee he would have been on the list.
Yep.
There is nobody obvious right now, but maybe just a different voice in Chris Gent or Phil Handy, whether they actually are the solution or not, whether or not they'd actually be good head coaches, just something different with some presumably different decisions.
Yep.
Might be enough to spark some energy, because I think right now, we'll talk about this later, especially, you know, we'll get into DeJounte Murray versus D'Lo. There's the question of big effective fixes versus just getting rid of some negativity, just changing the energy, no matter what comes from that.
Okay. I have a thought on what you were just talking about there with, like, if you fire Darvin, what's next? Oh, by the way, too, Lakers in Boston play the Celtics. that's a deal. That's a thing that we should probably be focused on, but we can't because we're talking about hourglasses. Lakers in Boston tonight, 4:30 tip local time. You can catch every minute of Lakers hometown broadcasts with the SiriusXM app, where you search Lakers again on SiriusXM. So I had an answer for that question about Darvin and firing him and what's next, and then we'll talk to Jonte and D'Lo.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by PrizePicks, the largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you just pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in up to 25 times your money. And you can pick combo projections across football and basketball in the Specials League. I mean, at least for one more big weekend, you can do that with football and basketball. For example, LeBron James and Travis Kelce at a 10.5 combo of three-pointers made in receptions. With PrizePicks reboot policy, your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For NFL games, NBA games, if you have a player who exits in the first half, doesn't return in the second because of an injury, that player is rebooted. PrizePicks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with injury insurance. So go to prizepicks.com/lockedonNBA. Use that code LOCKEDONNBA for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, prizepicks.com/lockedonNBA. PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
Long term, Andy, you're exactly right. The question of who's next matters. But I have two thoughts about this. Like, there are scenarios in which the Lakers turn stuff around and Darvin ends the season on firmer footing than he currently is. But they seem far-fetched to me. And you are walking into next season with all kinds of uncertainty. There's a thing that happens in media where, like, well, if he loses this game, if he one more week of this, the minute you reach that point, you are essentially done with your coach. And that is fair or unfair. I think with Frank, you know, with Vogel a couple of years ago, it was a little more unfair than fair, but it doesn't change where you are. It is very difficult for me to see how Darvin regains credibility with this roster and this core, assuming that a lot of the disconnect that's been reported and that certainly looks like it's there when you just read body language and watch players and listen to the words that they say publicly. It's hard to see how this gets fully better to where LeBron believes in Darvin, like, you know, they bought in with Frank, or they bought in with Darvin last year, or they bought in with Ty Lue or other coaches, then fire him. And it almost doesn't matter who you replace with him with now. I predict if they fired him, they would have a 7 or 8 game bounce with Chris Gent or with Phil Handy, or with you or me. It doesn't, like, the energy from a new coach would turn things in a big way. And then after 7 or 8 games, things would settle back in. Some of that would wear off, and we would find out whether or not the new coach was actually really making a significant difference in terms of how, because, like, they would all be playing harder. They'd all be more focused. This is what happens. It'd either be a regular bounce or a dead cat bounce, you know, to use the stock term, but there's always a bounce when coaches get fired.
Well, I mean, they only need to maintain that sort of bounce, that sort of energy, the getting reinvigorated for essentially half a season, however long the playoffs go, because I doubt they're going to end up finding the permanent coach. If, say, they fire Darvin next week, I would be surprised if the permanent coach was found and immediately known right away.
I think you're better off not just being like, we have an interim coach, right, and that's the end of it.
Right. But you need to keep everybody energized and, you know, pulling again in the same direction and finding a reason to believe for just half a season. And again, hopefully a long playoff run, because this team becomes a better actualized version of what they can be. And then you figure out the long term when it's time to figure out the long term in the offseason. One thing I was also thinking about is if they're not going to fire Darvin anytime soon, Rob Pelinka needs to step in as some type of mediator and sit down with Darvin and LeBron and AD and whoever else in that locker room matters. And they need to sit down and hash some things out where ultimately Rob Pelinka says, okay, I'm hearing things on both sides. These are the things that are going to happen moving forward because I said so. And I'm actually all of your bosses and everybody shuts up from here moving forward. And you all bust your ass for the rest of the season and we'll figure out what happens from there. Like if you're not going to make the move to fire Darvin because he's clearly lost the locker room and clearly some type of energy needs to change. There could be energy changes that come from a trade just because it's different energy, not even because any specific player is doing anything wrong. Like the energy changed last year from negative to positive when Russ was changed. I'm not talking about that right now. Like if D'Lo got traded for DeJounte Murray, I don't think D'Lo has been a source of negative energy. I'm just saying different energy can sometimes be reinvigorating.
It's a shakeup. Trades are a shakeup.
Right, right. But if you're... Those are also, though, harder to manufacture because you need other teams to cooperate. But if you're not going to do the immediate move, the immediate shakeup, which would be firing Darvin, you know, you need to sit down if you're Pelinka and be some type of intermediary, because especially if you don't plan on firing him this offseason, then you really need to start being proactive in finding something that works and getting everybody past the stuff that has caused this tension.
This is a bit of a catch because on the one hand, you know, we joked that, you know, once the Lakers made that trade last year, the Rui trade and then the deadline stuff, like suddenly Rob Pelinka, who we didn't hear much from, you know, I don't need to hear a lot from the GMs. You don't want to hear a lot from the owners. Like, I'd rather hear less from them than more. It is a difficult thing, like, for Rob to start talking. Now, if he comes out and he does start doing interviews, the only questions are going to be about Darvin and what else do you need to see in this and that, whatever. And that, while I guess it can be helpful, but it also starts to create headlines and this and that. And I'd be fascinated to know, like you say, what is the communication between the people that matter in this situation that, you know, that isn't public. But we are back in a place where Lakers management is completely invisible. 100%. When was the last time we have seen or heard from any of these people? I think it's been like media day. I mean, basically
this, as you noted, these guys, the general managers don't often speak regularly. Most they don't of them. Often hold pressers. Like it's not a common thing. So I want to make it clear that it's not like other presidents of basketball ops around the league are regularly doing fireside chats and Rob Pelinka is the only one who isn't. But that being said, though, and you know, there's time for this to fully play out, I guess. This front office and ownership, and at that point I'm including Genie, obviously.
Sure.
They do have a habit of disappearing when things get really bad. They do. That is an established pattern.
And look, the Lakers, they're going like, okay. Yeah.
And what I was talking about, by the way, just so it's clear, I'm not talking about Rob doing a presser. I'm talking about him behind closed doors.
And that was clear. That was absolutely clear. I'm talking about the visibility, though, like you said, of ownership based on that. And management, based on what you're talking about, which is when things are bad, when things are difficult, they do tend to get real quiet. Mm-hmm. And I don't always think that's a bad thing, but it's also not always a good thing either. But like, look, I mean, the Lakers have they're a game under 500 and are going into Boston tonight. Again, 4:30 tip. Every minute of the hometown broadcast, you can catch it with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search Lakers, you know. But that is a difficult game, even when you're playing well. Going into Boston Garden or whatever they call it now, and playing there, and then you go to New York,
TD Center or something,
TD Bank North, whatever it is. And then you go to New York. The Knicks have been the best defensive team in the NBA since the OG trade.
Yeah.
So that's a tall order. And then you finish with Charlotte. Shouldn't be a tall order, but it's the last game of a six-game trip, and the last game's always hard. Like, we're not hitting the panic button quite yet, but we have located the panic button. We have lifted the protective shield off the panic button, and our hands, if not hovering over it, are certainly out of our pockets. Our hot pockets, our ham filled hot pockets.
Darvin's are still in his, though.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Let's talk D'Lo and DeJounte Murray, because that was certainly an interesting thing that happened on Tuesday. We'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by FanDuel, and happy Super Bowl to all of those who celebrate from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're like me, Super Bowl Sunday, which is coming up and I cannot wait, is all about scoring the best seat on the couch, grabbing some of your favorite football snacks, and placing some super bets. I love me a parlay. I love stacking together a bunch of categories, living a little bit on the edge, especially when I'm filling up on chicken tenders and pulled pork, plus a healthy sensible vegetable. FanDuel has so many ways for you to end the season with a W or two or three. Not only can you bet on who will win Super Bowl 58, but FanDuel also has bets on who will score a touchdown, which players will score a touchdown, who will score the touchdown first, how many points will be scored, and so many more options. And new customers, join today and you get $200 in bonus bets if your first bet of $5 or more wins. Just $5. And you qualify. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
It would be curious when we get, I promise we're going to D'Lo here in a sec, but like, you know, we posted this from the Lakers Film Room podcast, our friends, Pete Zayas and Darius and Mike. Pete, I believe, posted, you know, some information about Rui Hachimura and some of the combinations and playing with LeBron and AD and all that kind of stuff that indicate perhaps a little more playing time is in order for Rui. So there are, you know, beyond just Vanderbilt, there are,
I'd like to think I've been at the forefront of that battle.
Like, let the record show that this is not new information for Andy.
I don't always get enough time to really engage in like the social activism that I would do with more time. But damn it, Rui Hachimura has been my cause. I'll never truly clean up the environment the way that I would like, but I'm going to get Rui more playing
time. That's, you know, we all contribute to the betterment of society in our own way. Yes. And there's no look. And even in well-functioning, well, you know, teams that are doing well with, coaching staffs that are like function like a well-oiled machine, there are always assistants that would do things differently than the head coach, even when they get along. Like it's, I would play this guy here. I would call this play here. So stuff could change that would help the Lakers get better. It's not just the bounce. There are plenty of things that could happen, and I presume probably would happen if for no other reason the new coach knows at least what the players want to be doing and would do it to get, you know, that buy-in from the beginning. We'll break down some of those things later.
You want to give yourself the best chance of not being just a three-month interim guy. You do the things that LeBron and AD want.
Exactly. So let's talk about DeJounte Murray. If he, like, you couldn't have scripted something better for Murray to look better, like look as good as he did than he did against the Lakers on Tuesday. You know, he was playing unusually well based on like some of the statistical breakdowns you see, you know, in isolation. Some of his shot making was, you know, above average and, you know, normal and all this stuff against a tired Lakers team that has trouble defending at the point of attack anyway, and also had no rim protection. This was a great night to audition for being a future Laker.
Yeah, it was definitely advantage DeJounte if you were looking at this thing as a showdown between him and D'Lo, two guys in trade rumors to get moved for each other. Mm-hmm. D'Lo did not have a particularly good game in Atlanta. He was also hearing at the line chants from the crowd, "We don't want you," which is cruel, but clever.
It is. That was good.
Definitely clever. There was a lot of heckling of the Lakers going on. This, by the way, also is a constant with LeBron teams because, fair or not, and I would mostly argue fair, LeBron has the reputation of Le GM. We saw that years ago when Brandon Ingram was playing a game in Indiana and the crowd was yelling, LeBron's going to trade you, which, again, cruel but clever.
And also accurate.
it was. As it turned out.
It's like that LeBron one tweet that always goes around, like, you know, the haters said that it couldn't be done, and it turns out they were right. Really great call by the haters. It's like that. Yeah. It's that tweet.
LeBron may not have been on the phone with New Orleans making that trade happen, but he might as well have been.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got people for that. But, like, it's like I'm lukewarm on the DeJounte thing because I really want to know, are they doing it because they are trying to salvage this year? Are they doing it because they really believe Murray is a nice fit for next year? Is Murray's defensive reputation, you know, is it really reputation at this point versus actual production? That is an open question. Could being put back at a point guard position as opposed to having to play next to Trae Young, would that make a difference? There are a lot of variables here, and I'm certainly open to the idea. I get it. Like, after watching just the difference in speed and dynamism between what Murray it would be in the Lakers' backcourt versus what Reeves and Russell provide, even when they're effective, the change in speed and the change in athleticism is pretty noticeable between Murray and the two starting guards for the Lakers. I mean, there's no question about that.
Yeah, I mean, he adds that wrinkle that the Lakers have been missing with Dennis Schroeder. You know, just the ability to get downhill in ways that can put a defense on their heels. Like, both D'Lo and Reeves have different ways that they can attack and get in the lane and do things while they're there, but not in that same just downhill attacking, going right at you. What are you going to do to stop me way that DeJounte Murray can do it? You know, I thought the game that he had against the Lakers was a pretty good summary of what I think of DeJounte Murray as a player, which is, I don't think he was spectacular, but he had a very good game. Uh-huh. And I think that's kind of where he is in the NBA pecking order. He's not considered a spectacular player, but he's very good. He's also, too, under long-term contract. So if the Lakers just like DeJounte Murray, and if nothing else, feel like they have more of a future for whatever reason with him than D'Angelo Russell, then you could be getting ahead of one of the moves you eventually have to make if D'Lo's not on this team because he opts out this offseason, or you think you're going to end up trading him if he opts in next year, or next year becomes the last season you're with him anyway. Like,
right.
It gives you some type of clarity. It may also just re-energize the team because you're doing something and they want to feel like you're not just leaving them to the wolves, even if D'Lo isn't really the problem. And as a one-to-one swap, Murray may not make the Lakers that much better.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with you. I mean, I think Murray's probably overall a little better player in like, if you're taking the totality of it, but there are things that Russell does better than DeJounte Murray.
He's a way better shooter.
He is. And, you know, historically, I mean, I know Murray is having a career year, but historically, D'Lo is a much more reliable three-point shooter. As one example, he's also a better pure point guard. But I hesitate even to say that, well, obviously a Reeves and Russell backcourt can't work because it worked pretty well last year, you know, up until the Western Conference Finals. I mean, that's not bad. But I do think, like, it is pretty clear. DeJounte Murray is better than anybody the Lakers would be able to pick up through free agency or likely even a trade should Russell leave. Like, if they lost D'Angelo in the offseason and they don't make this trade, and they just have to go find someone, the replacement will be worse than both of them. I think that is likely. At the very least, or you have to use other assets that you need for other improvements in order to go get the point guard that you let get away. So if it costs you a pick and D'Lo and, I don't know, Jalen Huchefino or something like that, you got to think about it. I mean, it should be noted, I am pleased to report that Huchefino is actually playing pretty well with the G League now that he's actually getting to play. I hope they can leave him down there for most of the year and give him a chance to really thrive. Side note, we do not need to go down a Huchefino rabbit hole.
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, you would find a way to add DeJounte Murray to what's already there. You know, some type of world where it's Gabe Vincent, who has not been a factor this whole year, Jalen Huchefino pick, you know, and
Torian Prince to make the money work.
You might end up having to do that. Well, no, you really might have
I'm telling you, you know, you really do need them. It's a perfect opportunity to trade Torian Prince.
I mean, look, I we've talked about this before. In a lot of ways, I feel bad for Torian. I think he is getting crushed for reasons largely that have nothing to do with
him. And I think he's pressing because of it. I think he hears a lot of this, and his play over the last couple of weeks indicates this is wearing on him as well.
And look, I mean, I've made this argument before. I think you can make a very real basketball argument that if you're looking to improve the team immediately, you have to at least consider moving Austin Reeves for DeJounte Murray rather than D'Lo, because on balance, D'Lo has been better than Reeves this season. And if you are looking to jumpstart this season, you want to keep the better of the two players if possible. Reeves may be on the better contract, and maybe you believe in, you know, over the long run or even just next year, Reeves will be definitively better than D'Lo, but he's not currently definitively better than D'Lo. So you could, again, you could make the argument that if you're looking to fix things now as effectively as possible, you would relent on the very well-reported reluctance to include Austin Reeves in that sort of deal. Because I think if they included Reeves, Atlanta would say yes. I think they'd say yes in a second.
I think and the Lakers might be able to hold back a pick or Huchefino or something like that.
Right. Again, you just have to consider it.
I mean, if they include Reeves, the whole nature of the deal changes. And I don't want to argue about the, you know, because I think there's obviously a lot of reasons to keep Reeves that even go be well beyond the contract. But it gets to the Lakers are in a really difficult spot because you have to balance two things. Like, if they don't fire Darvin but do make a trade, does that change the dynamic in the way that you want? Is this a player? Last year, it was very clear that the issue was not the coach, it was the roster. This year, the issue is the coach and the roster, but it's hard to tell because of the coach. It's hard to know exactly the extent to which the roster is problematic or could be fixed because of the questions about the coach.
I was going to say a big problem is the roster seems very upset with the coach. Yeah. And until that changes, however much of that percentage really falls on the roster will not matter, because the roster, I guess, other than maybe Torian, is upset with Darvin
complaining.
And look, I mean, at this point,
bad messenger, but that's the message right now. So, LOL. Locked On Lakers on YouTube, Andy. So we can go hang out with over 22,000 subscribers, all of whom are very interested to find out what happens tonight in Boston. This could be either one of the most glorious games of the season or a god-awful disaster, dumpster fire. We'll see. But yeah, we'll be back after to break it all down. Either way, there's going to be plenty to talk about. Leave us your questions. Leave us your comments. We'll see you after the game.